Welcome to Hype episode 135. This is a flagship podcast from hypeaboard.com for all things entertainment. I'm Marima and I am joined this week by Pam. Hey, Pam.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, you know, just hanging out.
Yeah.
Talking about entertainment.
As
getting
always.
Mad at Beauty and the Beast. Your standard week's events.
Day in the life of Marima.
A day in the life indeed. We are going to be talking about Beauty and the Beast today. We've got a bunch of big news to discuss. It's actually been a little bit of a slow news week, probably in the lead up to the Oscars, but we have a lot of listener feedback to get through. We've got some fun TV show of the week stuff, and we're going to do some fun things for our Patreon subscribers as well. To remind everyone, we are currently doing a free month of February for everyone on Patreon. So you can head over to patreon.com/hypepodcast and get all of the things for free. It's so exciting. You don't have to sign up for anything. You can just go in and see what's over there. Right now we have, Pam and I have uploaded some reaction videos from Gilmore Girls that we recorded right after we watched it back in November, which are very funny. Yours is like very succinct. Mine goes for 5 hours.
But I loved yours. I watched it I saw it go up and I was like, yes, I'm gonna watch my two favorite people talking about Gilmore Girls. It's gonna be great.
Yes.
Two of my favorite people.
Yes. So that's over there. We have last week our bonus audio was on His Dark Materials. You guys did a segment on Doctor Who a couple weeks ago. So there's lots of fun things happening, and we're posting over there and, you know, getting feedback from you guys and everything. So if you want to sign up, we would really appreciate it. We are so close to reaching our first goal, our first milestone. Once we reach $100, we are going to be recording a DVD commentary of a movie of your choice. Mm-hmm. So that will be interesting.
We're only $7 away. Can you believe it? We thought we were going to
I can believe
wait,
it.
Like 6 months.
No, I can believe it because Hype listeners are the best listeners.
That is very so, true. We do always say this.
Yeah. So we are so close. We're like $7 away. So if you want to go over and pledge, that would be amazing. But if you just want to check out sort of what we're offering, you can also do that. Like we said, totally free for February. We're going to jump into how we hype. Before we do, of course, if you want to get in touch with us, we are on Twitter at HypeableHype. We are also at HypeableHype on Instagram. Lots of fun stuff happening over there. You can find us on hypeable.com and always leave a comment on this podcast post, hypable.com. Or you can send us an email, hype@hypeable.com. And I want to give a shout out to Selena, just released an interview with the composer for The 100, which was a special that came out last week. If you haven't checked it out, it's a really cool interview. They get really deep into like the themes for the different characters. So you would think like, how could a, you know, an interview with a composer show, like that's interesting, but I mean, how do you talk about like what's happening on the show? And turns out you totally can. So that's over on Hypeable, or you can find all of our specials if you go to our Tumblr, hypepodcast.tumblr.com. They're all linked at the top there, super easy to find if you want to catch up on any of the specials we've had in the past. So there you go. You're overwhelmed with information. Now, Pam, tell us what you've been up to.
Well, I read a book, and I guess I'll talk about that first. I was looking at the books. Like, I try to keep track of what I've been reading, like, start, you know, to the beginning of the year and just kind of see what I've been gravitating to. And this year, it kind of started towards the tail end of last year. I've been really into nonfiction, just, like, different kinds of nonfiction. And one of the books that I read recently, I just finished up, was a book called Anatomy of a Song, The Oral History of 45 Iconic Hits That Changed Rock, R&B, and Pop. So staying
with my brand. Oh my
god,
I've been wanting to read this.
It's amazing. I really enjoyed it. It's actually by a man named Mark Myers, and he is a Wall Street Journal writer and columnist. So the book is based off of this column that he's had for a really long time called Anatomy of a Song. And it's like a brilliant idea. Like in the introduction, he kind of goes into the way the editor pitched it. And it's so, the idea is so organic to treat songs like people and profile songs, you know, and like the process of a song, that you kind of think like, why hasn't anybody done this before? But anyway, so this is what this guy does. And it's kind of, he doesn't do so much of the writing so much as like the interviewing. So he really takes a backseat and lets the creators that have written the songs, talk about the process of what they mean and how they got to the point that they are now that we've heard them. And it's just, it's so interesting. If you, like me, kind of nerd out over some of the biggest hits of the past, you know, few decades, like REM's Losing My Religion. I loved that one. I really loved the story behind My Girl and Dock of the Bay. And it's just like, there's so much good stuff. Like, even if you don't read the whole thing, it's a great book to check out from your local library and just kind of like flip through, read the chapters on the songs that interest you particularly, and then just like return it if you wanted to do it that way. Or if you're like a huge music junkie like me and Marima, you could like read the whole thing and you would find a lot of really interesting tidbits about some of the best songs that have been written in our lifetime. It's great.
Oh, I have to pick this up. I have, you know what, I actually have picked it up about 5 times mm-hmm. in bookstores and then been like, I shouldn't, I want this, but I should just not buy it. I don't need more things to read. And yeah. then you've totally sold me on it. It actually That's reminds good. Me of, just quickly, have you heard that podcast Song Exploder?
I have heard about it. I've never actually listened.
Yeah, it's like the same premise. So it's this guy, Hrishikesh Hirway, who also hosts my favorite podcast about the West Wing. And he has this podcast called Song Exploder, where he basically takes, it's the same premise, but for like current artists, and he interviews them, but it's basically ends up being them breaking down like the anatomy of one of their songs and talking about the songwriting process and then talking about recording it and like everything that went into it. And then you get to hear them kind of go through it all in like this huge amount of detail. It's really well produced. And then you hear the song at the end. It's really good. He's had like Solange on there. He's had Death Cab, I think. Like he's had just
now you're
a,
speaking
a
my
really,
language. You know.
Like Iggy Pop has been on there. Who else? Bjork has been on there. And then also like Wilco, Metallica have been on. Like there's a lot. So if you're intrigued by Pam's book recommendation, I would definitely recommend that podcast also.
That's a good one. I'm also reading right now, like I'm on a music trend in books. I picked up this book called Love for Sale, Pop Music in America by another columnist. And I'll let
oh,
you guys
I also
know
want to read
that.
That.
Yeah, it's really good so far. It's like, I told you guys, I'm on a nonfiction kick and there's like, I've been reading weird stuff. I also read this whole book about like the process of which Hemingway went through to write The Sun Also Rises. It's just like a whole book about that. I'm really into the nonfiction, like ever since November. I don't know when I'm going to get
like
back into the
my
world
life,
of
so.
Fantasy, but yeah, I'm really enjoying kind of like these real stories and not necessarily just memoirs, but like, you know, analysis pieces and stuff. I'm definitely taking a leaf out of your area of expertise.
Yes.
For sure.
Okay, well, let me jump in with my book recommendation then, because I have been reading for ages. It's really short, but I've just been reading like essays here and there from it, so it's kind of been nice to savor it. How to Ruin Everything by George Watsky. Of course, Watsky is a musician who you may very well be familiar with because he did something on the Hamilton mixtape, but also like he's just been around for ages and he's amazing and I love him. And I saw him live when I was in New York once. It was very exciting. It was an amazing gig, but he's written a book of essays and they're really, really good because, you know, he's a spoken word artist as well. And so he just has like this amazing command of the English language, and it's really interesting to see him utilize that in a different forum, like for a different end. And so yeah, they're autobiographical essays. It's a very short book, but I've been really enjoying it. They're like very well done and like very interesting, and I would definitely recommend that if you are into essays, or you know, if you want to, I don't know, learn something more about one of the very good musicians around right now, might want to check that out. How to Ruin Everything. And this is a good time to shout out our Goodreads group.
I was just going to do that. Yeah.
You want to go ahead?
No, go for it. I'm glad that we're on the same wavelength though.
Always, always. Well, this was Jewel, right? One of our amazing listeners has created a Goodreads group and starting with last episode has cataloged every book that we mentioned. And when I was scrolling through a list, I was like, oh my God, we talk about a lot of books every episode. So we will link to that on you can find that on our Twitter, or I'll put a link up on Tumblr as well so that it's super easy to find. And we should put a link to your playlist as well. So that,
because
I know people tweet about that sometimes. We'll
every
find
once
some
in
way
a
to put
while.
That up.
Every once in a while, I get somebody asking, like, where's your playlist again? You could probably, you know what? I'm like, it's impossible for me to hide online. I'm sure if you just Google my full name, you will find everything.
That's true.
And more.
Story
which
about
is
lives.
So bad. I just started a job and somebody was like, you know, 3 weeks into the process, they're like, yeah, like we were kind of curious about you. So I Googled you and I was like, what?
I mean,
Okay.
it's the age we live in.
Basically, yeah. I wasn't surprised, but I was also like a little bit surprised and also a little flattered. But yeah,
Yeah, there you
if
go.
when in doubt, just Google me. I literally cannot hide online. The last thing I want to talk about, and I was going to use this as like my TV show of the week, but as I have been informed, I have to talk about Jane the Virgin because you guys promised last week. So very quickly, I just want to say that on the plane ride back from my family holiday, I watched the first episode of Planet Earth 2. I don't know if you've ever watched these. I get sucked into Planet Earth documentaries because the cinematography is so amazing.
Is it a David Attenborough
Yeah,
one?
David Attenborough, he does
Yes.
the
My
narration for it and stuff.
fave.
He's great. And I will just tell you right now, like you don't even have to watch like the whole thing. Just go and find the full clip of iguanas versus snakes because it is the most intense like 10-minute clip of like just terror and action you will ever see. I was on the plane and I convinced like four people around me that I did not know, like four people that were not my family, to watch Planet Earth 2 because they were all staring at my face as I silently reacted to the horror of iguanas versus snakes.
Wow, that's like the new showdown.
Yeah, it was crazy. There's like a 2-minute clip that Planet Earth 2 released on YouTube in conjunction with the release of the series on BBC America out here in the States, and I was just like, you guys, just this is just 2 minutes of like a
Oh my
10-minute
God.
drama.
Okay, well, that's everyone's homework for the
Yeah,
week.
just go watch. Just if you don't watch anything else, I mean, like the whole thing is beautiful. Like the islands episode, which is the first episode, is amazing. But iguanas versus snakes, you guys, it's a thing, and you don't want to miss out.
Amazing. All right, let's jump into news.
Yeah, let's do it. We are gonna kick things off as always with a bunch of actually, this is like movie hype. So if you're excited about movies, this is the show for you. We're gonna start off with some Beauty and the Beast news, and this is like the thorn in Merrima's side. So I know she's gonna have a lot to say about this. This week we got a nice long clip of Emma Watson performing Belle from Beauty and the Beast, and we get a great shot of her kind of traipsing through her poor provincial town as she sings this song and goes off to the library to return her book. And people have a lot of feelings about this. I know you guys that are listening have a lot of feelings about this. We got a bunch of tweets about this, but I'm gonna let you start off. What did you think about this, Marima?
I really don't like it. Look, okay. I was into this when they first announced. I was very excited. You can go back and listen to Hype. Like, you know, I thought this was going to be really fun. The more I see from it, the sort of more my heart sinks, and the more I feel like it's just not going to be very good. And look, I like Emma Watson a lot. I think she does a lot of really good work in her, you know, actual life as Emma Watson, but I'm not sure if she's the best actress. I feel like she plays herself a lot, is what we're starting to see. And certainly in roles like this, which are probably maybe a little closer to her, it just looks like her. It just feels like it's her. It does not feel like it's a Belle. And the singing is like so auto-tuned, like really, really intensely auto-tuned. And so I don't know. I feel like I'm not sure what about this is making people excited, because I look at this and think like it just seems like a very poor reenactment of a movie that we already know and love. And I sort of wonder if maybe why people are excited is because they do know it so well, and they're kind of projecting the feelings that they had from the original onto what we've seen from this, because it's so similar, you know, because it's looked so similar so far. But what do you think?
Yeah, here's the thing. I think that you and I have both talked about how after we saw Jungle Book, we were like all for the live action
Totally.
animated renditions of things, and because Jungle Book set the bar so high. But I think what Jungle Book did great was that while it was a retelling, it didn't necessarily just rehash the entire Jungle Book movie. It was like Rudyard Kipling's Jungle Book story with some nice little nods to the Disney animated classic mixed
Right.
in.
It was new.
Right. And I will still watch Beauty and the Beast. I'm curious about it, but I was reading this interview with Bill Condon, who's the director, and the thing that really kind of worried me about it was that he said that, and I'm like paraphrasing, but this is also like basically a direct quote. He said that a lot of the live actions that have come out before have not necessarily been a retelling, but they have like just kind of rehashed the story from a different perspective. And that was not what he set out to do with Beauty and the Beast. Like, he just wanted to bring the movie that he loved so much to life. And that to me is a big red flag because it has the potential to be so boring if it's just like if every shot is what we've already seen. I was kind of hoping for something new, and I know that like Menken said that he's doing some new tracks and like that's going to be exciting, but I am kind of worried that it's going to be too much of the same. Like, I would rather have them take a little risk and like switch something up. So I hope that they do that, but his comments have me a tiny bit worried.
Yeah, I feel the same. And we're actually going to get into this in a little more detail in a special Patreon segment. So you can head over to patreon.com/hypepodcast to listen to that and talk about some of the feedback, what you guys think about Beauty and the Beast, and just about this live action trend in general. And like Pam said, if they're just making the same movie over again, do we want to see these movies? And maybe which ones we're more excited for than Beauty and the Beast. So you can head over there to listen to that and let us know what you think. Speaking of Beauty and the Beast, the original Mrs. Potts is joining another Disney property, Mary Poppins Returns, which, I mean, let's just straight up say it has the greatest cast of any movie to ever be in production. Emily Blunt, Lin-Manuel Miranda, Ben Whishaw, Emily Mortimer, Julie Walters, Colin Firth, Meryl Streep, and now we know Dick Van Dyke's going to be in it, and now Angela Lansbury is just signing on up. This is
This
amazing.
movie's gonna kill
I
me.
am dying for this, right? Like,
I
are we gonna survive this?
No, because it's like our favorite people plus Ben Whishaw. And then I don't know if I've ever talked about this on the show, but I have like a visceral reaction anytime I see Dick Van Dyke in anything because to me, he is childhood. And I'm so excited that he's involved in this as well. It's just like that's the cherry on the cake. And then now that Angela Lansbury is on it too. She's like in on it too. It's just gonna be so good. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, I think this is just going to be amazing. So they've just started filming. It's not set to open until Christmas 2018. So we've got a while. But hey, it's going to be great. And every time the thing about this is I keep forgetting that they're making it and then they announce some other amazing casting and I'm like, "Oh my God, it's happening." So yeah, very, very excited about this. That's another, I mean, there it's all it's very Disney heavy this week actually, now that I'm looking at the shows that
Well,
we're
only
talking
because
about.
Disney has like Disney really has their hands in a lot more properties than I think we've ever
That's
really
true.
realized, and we'll get to that in a bit as you guys will see. But we have a little bit more like actual Disney live action news for you guys. The Lion King is also being remade in a live action format, and they have cast two big names to partake in this new adaptation. The first is James Earl Jones, who will be reprising his role as Mufasa. So that's exciting for all of us that grew up with the animated classic because he'll just be voicing the same character again. I think that's just like perfect casting because he's got such an iconic voice. And the second person that I'm always excited to see in anything is Donald Glover, who will play adult Simba. So I know we just like spent 10 minutes griping about Beauty and the Beast, but I'm a simple fan. Just sign me up for anything Donald Glover wants to do. I will watch it. It's so bad.
No, that's so accurate. Like, I'm very excited about both of these castings. And well, like we said, I mean, Jon Favreau, who's directing this, he also did Jungle Book.
That's
So we
true.
love Jungle Book.
We do.
So that's why I'm maybe a little more excited about this. I mean, yeah, I love Donald Glover. That's so great. And I think that's such a good move of theirs to bring back the original voice if they can. So I wonder if we're going to get, do you think we're going to get other people from the original cast, or maybe James Earl Jones is going to be it?
You know what? I'm blanking on everybody that was involved in the original 90s animated Lion King, except for Jonathan Taylor Thomas, who I know voiced young Simba, but he's a little too old now for that. So.
Well, if they weren't involved now, they would be like, hello, I'm available.
Yeah,
So
what is
just give me a
JTT
call.
doing these days, really? The last thing I saw him in was Smallville. So.
Yeah, I think he's got time.
That's true.
I think they've got time.
It'll also be
Okay,
interesting to
jump.
see like what they do with like Scar and oh like Whoopi Goldberg. She was like one of the hyenas. That was the big thing. So you know it's all coming back to me. So it'll be fun to see, yeah, if they do any other little nods to the voice actors.
The voices that they got for the Jungle Book was so spot on. So I'm very confident in Jon Favreau's casting ability for this. So we'll be keeping an eye on that as it develops. Jumping over to tangential Disney property, they own everything. Star Wars, we got a first look at The Last Jedi, the first character kind of posters for our trio, Rey, Finn, and Poe. People are very excited about this for a number of reasons. So it's just, it's like the banner. We have Poe in his helmet, he's still hanging out. We have Finn, who's still wearing Poe's jacket, and people are saying maybe he's wearing some kind of Jedi robe or something underneath that. There's been a lot of discussion about what the particular collar of his shirt means. And then Rey, who has a different hairstyle, and people are very into this. And at first, that seems like what a silly thing to focus on. But actually, as people have been discussing, Rey, as we saw in The Force Awakens, like basically kept her exact same look and hair from the flashback scenes that we saw when she was left there. And people were saying, well, that's so that when her family came back, they would recognize her, right? And now it's like, well, maybe they don't need to recognize her because maybe she's reunited with her family. Who could that be? So it's all very exciting. I'm just very excited for Rey to be like right up in the middle with the lightsaber, 100% confirming, as if it was not obvious already, that this is very much her story. So as I think I said on Twitter, like, this one's for all the haters who like watched The Force Awakens and were like, but it wasn't really about Rey. Like, she wasn't really the lead character. But it's still very exciting.
I'm into it. It's gonna be really fun. I think we don't even have that much longer to wait. So
I
that's gonna
know.
be really exciting. That's coming
The
up. I
year
mean,
is
like,
getting away from us.
I know we're already like in spring almost. How exciting. We have a little bit more Star Wars news for you guys. This is just a really short story. As you guys know, we talked about the start of filming on the Han Solo anthology movie that's coming out, and they had a little bit of fun with the clapper for the first take, which we talked about, I think like 2 episodes ago. It was like Selena and I. And now the cast has released a really, really cute cast photo. They're all hanging out in the Millennium Falcon, and Woody Harrelson's there, and Alden Ehrenreich's there, and Emilia Clarke, our favorite Donald Glover. Like, everybody's in this photo. It's really, really cute. If you want to check out this really, really cute cast photo, which we do recommend you do, it's over on hypeable.com.
Okay, but pause for 1 sec, because why is everyone white? Like, wasn't his lo he was meant to have a love interest? Like, they were talking about Zoe Kravitz. They had this whole short list of people, and I love Star Wars. They're doing a great job in improving their diversity, but like, they only cast white brunette actresses. Like, what is up with that? They all look the same. I mean,
You know what? That's a
Rey and
really good
Jin,
point.
Emilia Clarke, like, they all Carrie Fisher, they all are in the exact same mold, and I am, semi concerned about this because I really don't want it to be another thing like Fantastic Beasts, where they're like, no, not everyone's white. We have Zoe Kravitz. Yep, here she is in a photo. Anyway, back to the movie. Just This, I think Star Wars has a bit of a white feminism problem, and like I just want to be very clear in saying that, you know, we can be very excited for like Rey to be the star and everything, but like once again, there's been all of this talk about casting and non-white, oh, an actress of color to sort of star in this film alongside him, and yet again, we end up with the white actress, and I feel like that is a big problem on
I
Star Wars'
now
part.
that you mention it, I do remember that we did cover that story where they were looking. There was like a short list of three actresses of color,
Yeah, and I can't remember them off the top
and
of
I
my head, which
can't.
I apologize
I
for.
will also apologize for the fact that I can't recall if like that got scrapped when these other two actresses got cast that are in this preliminary photo, or if they're still casting, like they're still deciding, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's not saying that like there's no obviously like there are going to be more people in the film than just these people, but it's never a good sign when they release like these the preliminary cast photos of the main characters and it looks this white. You know, obviously with the exception of Donald Glover who's playing Lando and is going to be amazing, but I Star Wars really needs to cast a like a lead woman of color in one of their movies. Like it's getting ridiculous at this point because they all look the same. There is no reason for this.
I'm
So,
just looking at the comments here
yeah.
too on hypeable.com, and somebody mentioned that exact same thing. It's like, wasn't Zoe Kravitz shortlisted, or did the role go to Emilia Clarke? So we will do a little research on that when we finish up this show and get back to you guys next week, because I'm pretty sure it's going to be a question that a few of us have now that Merma's brought it up. So.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, jumping over to something a little more positive, my new favorite movie. I have a lot of new favorite movies, but this one I'm very excited for. Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda, aka that book that I'm always going on about. If you guys haven't read it, oh my God, go and read it by Becky Albertalli. She is amazing. It's so clever. It's like LGBT plus representation. It's really funny. It's really sweet. It's not genre, it's not a trilogy, like it's just a beautiful self-contained coming of age story that's so well done, and I'm so excited for this movie that is happening, and basically I just wanted any excuse to talk about it. So the excuse this week is apparently Jennifer Garner is in talks to play Simon's mom, so I mean that's cool, I guess, whatever. I think she'll be fine, she'll be good. I like Jennifer Garner. I don't have a particular opinion on this. I just kind of wanted to remind everyone that the movie was happening. So that's what this segment is.
So
Have you read this yet?
upon your recommendation, actually, right before I went full speed ahead into my nonfiction kick, I actually picked up Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda, and I read this book in like a matter of hours, not even a day, a few hours, because I could not put it down. It was so good,
Yes.
and I don't want to spoil it, but I will say that the you can probably guess this too. There is like a coming out element to the book, and it was one of the most like it hit me so hard, like the way that it was dealt with, because it reminded me a lot about a friend of mine in high school who came out. We were like really, really close friends, and just the way it was handled was. It felt so normal, but it's also not a way I've ever seen it done before, ever. And I really loved that. It really, like, it got to me. And I know you know exactly what I'm talking about, so.
Yes, it's so well done. I did an interview with Becky Albertalli, the author, when the book came out, like God, years ago now. And she, because she has done in her non-author life, she works with LGBT teens as like a, I'm gonna get this wrong, but as like a psychologist or in some kind of counseling sort of role. And she was very clear about saying, obviously, I'm not taking anyone's particular story to write this book, but you can just see the degree of empathy in how she writes about her characters, that like it's not abstract to her, these issues, and not like things that she goes, oh, that would be an interesting story. Like she obviously is really familiar with kids who are going through these kinds of issues, and she just writes about it so effectively and so well. And so I think it's, yeah, I totally agree. It's so well done. I also just, guys, like, the casting is coming out. There is a huge spoiler that is going to be revealed once the casting for a particular character comes out. If you have not read this book, please go and read it now. This is not the kind of thing where you want to wait for the movie. You should go and read the book. I don't want you to get spoiled. I just don't want people to, like, have that reveal spoiled for them, and it will be once they start casting, like, some more of the characters. So just go and do it now. Like, please,
if you're good point.
Even mildly interested, go and read it now. I'm so excited that this movie is happening. Like, I'm just so happy that more people are going to be able to get to see this story. And, you know, I've got my fingers crossed that they're going to do it well, because they have a great base to work from in the book. That is for sure.
Yeah. So moving on, we have more movie news. Surprise, surprise. We have a new trailer for Guy Ritchie's King Arthur, and it's very interesting. It's definitely a Guy Ritchie film. Like, he has a very particular style of directing and cinematography, and that's not a bad thing at all. But I just, like, even if I didn't know he had done this, I would have guessed that he had done it just based on the way the film is done. Of course, we've talked about this before, because Selena and I cannot stay away from the Arthurian legends, you guys, and it's going to be interesting to see how this film turns out. It definitely blends in a lot of, like, different mythologies of Arthurian legend over time. Like, you know, in our favorite TV show ever, Merlin, like, Arthur is already, like, the prince, like, grows up royal. This is more kind of, like, Sword in the Stone status, so, like, if you're not, like, super into, like, Arthurian legend, then, like, but you might have, like, you might be familiar with the Sword in the Stone from Disney, and, like, that in that version, Arthur is, he's kind of like an orphan. Like, he doesn't have a title at all. And so that's kind of where, Hunnam's Arthur is coming from, although he is coming to, I guess, reclaim his rightful position on the throne. And, there's a lot of really cool imagery in here. If you're familiar with Arthurian legend, you'll recognize things like the Lady of the Lake at one point, like, her hand comes up to grab the sword, and stuff like that. So I'll be curious to see this, because I just can't stay away from Arthurian legend stuff, but jury's still out over whether or not it'll be good. Did you watch this trailer before we started, though, right? What are your thoughts?
I did. I just watched it. Look, I'm like, I know I've heard about this, but I was still kind of like, oh, this, what is, okay, that's what's happening. Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. I do really like Guy Ritchie, so I'm interested in his take.
Yeah, because he made our favorite movie ever, The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Exactly, exactly. The Man from U.N.C.L.E. with the three most beautiful people in the world in it. So I do really like it, and I like that it's kind of this action movie, but, like, in a medieval setting. That's cool, like, something maybe different. And for the most part, I think when he goes, like, super stylized and everything, it works. And I do think that he sort of, he does manage to, even though he has a very distinct style, I do think that he manages to sort of adapt it to the particular story that he's telling. So, like, Man from U.N.C.L.E., for example, had a lot of, like, this sort of mod, like, influence on it. And that totally fit for what he was, like, the time period and, like, the story that he was telling. And I don't think we're going to see that in this, right? But I don't know. I mean, it kind of looks fun. I guess I'll go and see it. Yeah. I'm sort of semi-confused about it, but, like, I kept being like, wait, are there modern things? Like, what is, I'm so confused. And
that, I think that's yeah. what pulls me out of it. And so I think that the reason that I am, like, I will go see it, but, like you said, the trailer kind of pulls you out, is because there are some shots that look like they're set in modern day, and you're like, is this, like, is reincarnation going to play into effect? Because obviously, like, that's the whole point of King Arthur. He's the once and future king, and he can rise again. Or is it going to be more like Hokey, A Knight's Tale status, where, like, there just happens to be random nods to, like, current
right
day stuff in medieval times? And either way, it's fine. But I think just because Arthurian legend deals so much with reincarnation, that's why I'm confused when I watch this, because I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be getting from it from that specific angle. But that's also
I agree. No, I had the same hang up. And Also, I was like, but where's Merlin? Like, when does he show up? And they have like a buddy romance.
Merlin's gonna be a sad old man and not young and
Yeah,
adorable, and then I'm gonna
I
cry a
know.
little bit in my seat. But the good news is Katie
Luckily.
McGraw is also in this, you guys.
Oh,
So
really?
yeah, she's in a minor role. So
How
that'll be
fun.
fun
Well, she can't get
to
away
spot
from
her
it
out.
either.
I don't think she cares, which is great. This is why we like her. She's just like, yeah, I'll do another Arthurian legend situation.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay, one last piece of movie news to wrap up. Wow, this was like all movies all the time. Hopefully you guys are into that. So we have a rumor title for the next X-Men movie. We had X-Men Apocalypse where they, oh, just the worst thing, covered up Oscar Isaac's face. Still mad about it. But apparently the rumor is that the next one is going to be X-Men Supernova, and it's going to focus on Jean Grey's Dark Phoenix story, which of course we saw in the original X-Men trilogy. There was a big focus on that, but as we know, Sophie Turner plays Jean Grey in the reboot, and I think I can't remember if we talked about this, but I loved her. I thought she was the best thing about Apocalypse, and so I am very, very excited if this is where it's going. She really stole the show as far as I was concerned, and I think they did a really good job with her character, although, you know, there were some other elements that weren't as amazing, and Apocalypse was a pretty silly movie just in general, but the X-Men movies are kind of silly just in general. So, yeah, I'm into this, and apparently Simon Kinberg is in talks to direct. So, seems like things are kind of heating up on the planning side, and we'll see how that goes. Do you watch the X-Men movies, Pam?
I do watch the X-Men movies, but my knowledge of X-Men is limited to what I remember from the 90s cartoon show. But Jean Grey played a big role in those as well. So, she's definitely like when it comes to X-Men characters, like her and like Cyclops are like my two touchstones basically. So I vaguely have an idea of this particular storyline, and I will be interested to see and hear more about this as it moves further and further into production.
Amazing. Okay, that's it for news for the week. We just quickly wanted to mention a couple other stories in what is happening in the world news. Apparently, American Horror Story Season 7, the theme has been revealed, and the theme is the 2016 presidential election. So make of that what you will. I don't think anyone on hype has been watching it, but I mean, we might have to tune into that one. Just anyway, whatever. Our fave Hayley Atwell is going to be starring in the Howard's End adaptation for BBC. And it just in news of combining two of the worst things, apparently Mel Gibson is in early talks to direct the Suicide Squad sequel. So they probably deserve each other. That's it for our news. Of course, you can let us know your thoughts on any of this. Get in touch with us in all of the ways we've listed before. Let's do a TV show of the week. I have been watching The 100, but I don't think you finished it, Pam, so I can't
I
talk
have
about it.
not. But here's the thing about Jane the Virgin. I can talk about it, but it's gonna spoil a major moment. And I'm really scared that if I do that, you're never gonna want to watch the show.
Me?
Yeah.
No, I'm gonna watch it anyway.
You're
Look,
gonna watch
you
it
can't.
anyway.
Yeah, Selena, when on the episode that you went on, Selena wanted to talk about The Good Place, and she was like, "I can't talk about The Good Place because you haven't seen it." And I was like, "Oh no, I already read a recap of this season finale. Like, I haven't watched the show, but I just wanted to know what happened." So I spoiled myself. So you go ahead. Is this from last week's or
This is
like 2 weeks
from
ago?
2 weeks ago. Yeah,
Okay, so
okay.
listeners, if you haven't seen this yet, this is the time to skip ahead, right? Jump ahead
I'm
till
going
you hear
to.
our listener
This is
feedback.
what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna set up when as soon as I start talking, I'm gonna put a timer on my phone, and then I'm gonna edit the show this week. So then I'll like do a little like this is how much you should skip ahead, and then I'll
Amazing. Look
pull
at
it
that
back.
public service Pam is doing for y'all.
I did the same thing for Star Wars. I feel bad. I know that people are not crazy like us and they don't consume everything. Okay, guys, we're gonna move into TV show of the week. And as Marima and Selena promised on my behalf last week, we're gonna talk about Jane the Virgin. So if you do not want to get spoiled on this big, big moment that happened like 2 episodes ago, I think now I'm a little behind. Sorry. Skip ahead right now, about 8 minutes and 10 seconds. It's a really long discussion, but you don't want to get spoiled. So yeah, skip ahead about like 8 minutes, 10 seconds, 8 minutes, 20 seconds, and you will be in the clear. Thanks, guys. All right. So 2 weeks ago on Jane the Virgin, Michael died suddenly, and it was awful, except I feel like we maybe should have seen this coming, because the show, like, usually when the show starts, you haven't started watching, like, any of it, right?
Nope.
So when the show, like, starts, like, every episode kind of, there's a narrator, and it usually starts off with, like, a little flashback of, like, usually Jane's childhood. It's like, when Jane was younger, like, blah, 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 and then it kind of, like, shows how those traits, like, are still alive within that character today. And this episode started with like a backstory of Michael, and we saw like all these backstories of Michael, and then all of a sudden, like, he was all set to take his LSATs. Like, he decided he was going to be a lawyer because he flunked out of his physical to go back into the police corp. And then all of a sudden, like, in the middle of his, like, after he'd finished his test, like, he just drops on the floor and starts convulsing, and it was actually like really traumatizing. And it turns out that it was a vestigial like remnant of a gunshot wound that he got, and they thought he had been okay. And then all of a sudden, like, there it was, it came back to bite him in the butt, and he just like dropped on the floor and died. And it's just like so sad, because like the whole episode Jane was saying like, oh, like, you know, I'm so excited to like start our lives together for real, because like they're married now, and like even though she has like Mateo, who's Raphael's child, you know, like they had like a minor pregnancy quote unquote scare, and she was like, this is not in our 5-year plan, but like they were gonna make it work, and they were thinking about like doing all this stuff, and all of a sudden like Michael's dead, and you're like, but no, it's so sad. So I don't really know what to think about that, but I will say that coming from, you know, a culture that is very, very ingrained in the idea of telenovelas, I'm also not really surprised that something crazy like this happened, because I feel like tragedy has to strike before like the show kind of moves towards the direction that it's going to go in. So I have a feeling that they went for the dramatics with Michael so that ultimately Jane could end up with Mateo's actual father, Raphael, at some point down the line. But it is a very interesting kind of reset, because I am a little behind. I don't think I've seen like I haven't finished the episode that aired around Valentine's Day because I was in transit back to California, but I started watching that, and they have fast forwarded 3 years into the future, and so Jane's son is now a little bit older, and she has this job as like an assistant to this big time publisher, and she's still dealing with the aftermaths of Michael's death. And it's like, I think like the most tragic part about this was Jane's reaction. Like, anytime you lose somebody you love, but just like hats off to Gina Rodriguez, because just the cry that she lets out when she finds out that Michael's died was just so heart-wrenching. Like, I felt it in the depths of my bones, and it was just, oh my gosh, it was crazy. And it's definitely going to be one of those moments that Jane fans talk about for like seasons to come. But it will be interesting to see what comes of it, and how they progress the story from this point on, and also how they keep Michael's legacy alive. And I will be interested to find out what our listeners have to say. But if you want to talk about this, maybe send an email, and I will respond back, and like we can chat about it and stuff like that, because we definitely don't want to spoil it for people that maybe haven't had a chance to experience Jane the Virgin and don't want to be spoiled before they watch that. But yeah, it was a crazy episode.
Is this the first time that they have done a time jump?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, it is.
It's funny, like you were saying, oh, you think maybe I won't watch it now, but actually the fact of the time jump makes me be like, oh, okay, because my understanding of Jane the Virgin is like to fit into the like sort of genre that it's working in, the telenovelas, is that like it just moves very quickly, and like things that just get wrapped up because then something else happens. And so it's interesting to me that they've made a decision that like they've killed off this I've heard of Michael, I know people like Michael, so you know, this like character that people like in this very sort of quick surprising way, and then they've skipped like the grieving, the immediate grieving process and everything to sort of, because otherwise you would get stuck in that storyline for ages, right? And not to say that she would be over it, but it's interesting that they've made that decision to sort of get her in, like 3 years is like a place where you can be like, okay, you can maybe start moving on and like dealing with this in a different way than just being in grief. So I don't know. I'm like, oh yeah. I mean, okay. So it's just kind of another plot point that makes sense, and it's like interesting to see like where it goes.
Yeah, they have and they
I gotta watch
haven't.
this.
Yeah, I'm excited for you to start it. It's just really fun. Sometimes you just need a fun show, and it's just like I said, like some of the stuff is like even like the idea of Jane the Virgin, like she gets artificially inseminated by accident when she's going in for a pap smear. Like that's not really realistic. But I think when you go into a show like this, knowing that it's a little bit outlandish, like you have more fun watching it. So, but in terms of the grieving process, like I said, I haven't finished the episode that comes after that. I'm in the process of like watching it. But they did do this thing like kind of towards the beginning before they time jumped where they showed like the direct aftermaths, and there's this like beautiful moment with Jane and her abuela, and she's like wallowing, and her grandma's like, it's time to let the light in, because if we don't let the light in, we can't heal. And I was like, oh my heart, this is like so sad. So I'm wondering if they're going to like kind of slip that in, but not make it, kind of like you were saying, where it's not like there's five full episodes dedicated to figuring out how this character is going to move on from the tragedy, but just kind of like showing what's happening now, and then like every once in a while piecing those things together when it makes sense to do so in the grand scheme of the
Yeah,
story.
and I'm
So.
sure seeing how it like continues to affect her. I have just seen the first. Is this the third season that you're watching right now?
I think so. I'm really bad with seasons. Let me double check that
Yeah,
really quick.
I've just seen that the first two seasons are on Netflix, and I actually do need like another fun. I need something fun to watch because, guys, I just watched The 100 season three, and if you've watched that, like, give me strength.
This is the third season, just to confirm.
Yeah. So
Oh, if you do that, I'll
I'm
be
gonna
so
check him out.
excited.
I'll
I will
check it
tell you
out.
right now,
Yeah.
like the first 5 minutes, like you've never met my grandma. One day she will cook for you.
Yes.
But
I
in the
feel like I
first,
know
in
her
the I know,
though.
in the first like 5 minutes, like that's my grandma. It's like just like what the narrator says
Amazing.
about Jane's grandma. Like the first time you meet her, like that is her, basically. And my brother and I were both watching it when the show premiered, and he was like, that's your life. That is grandma. So it's great. It's a really nice show. And I think that you'll really love the characters. And I can't wait for you to meet Rogelio, because he's like the best character. You're gonna love
Okay.
him.
All right. Well, I have to watch this, and I also really want to watch this is just TV show, my TV show is just things I need to watch. I really want to watch Younger. Have you seen that?
I
With
want to
Sutton
watch that
Foster?
too. Yeah, and Hilary Duff is in that, right? Too. And
Yeah.
yeah,
And
that's on
so
my list.
it's on for Australians, I know it's on Stan, which I just got a subscription to, which is like another Netflix service. And they are releasing it on there like week to week, so it's not you don't have to wait for like the full season to be out, and a friend of mine is really, really into it, and I am really, really into Sutton Foster. So I am gonna check that out too and report back. I haven't watched
Amazing.
any more Powerless after last week. Sorry, guys. I don't think I'm into it. But yeah. We'll have a 100 season three special coming soon though. So if you want to send us if you want to send us feedback on that, you can send us an email, hype@hyperball.com. Just make sure you put in the subject heading that it's 100 themed, so Pam doesn't read it. And also, as we decided last week spontaneously, we're gonna do a little mini Gilmore Girls sort of wrap up special with some feedback, talk about some theories, maybe some things we'd like to see if there was a season two. So if you have any questions or like any last things you want to say about Gilmore Girls, this is definitely, I know we said last time it was the last thing, but like this is really going to be the last thing we do for this for the foreseeable future. So we are going to record that at some point too after we finish the 100. So you can also send us emails for that, hype@hyperbore.com. And just like any questions about the show or about the specials, like anything Gilmore Girls related, you can send them over there. And thank you to the people who have emailed already. If you've sent us an email about that, that's why you're not hearing it in the listener feedback sections, because we're saving them for that special. Mm-hmm. So keep it coming.
Yeah.
And that'll be fun to talk about. Okay, we're going to jump into listener feedback now. But before we do, we have our Patreon suggested topic. This one's from Laura. If you want to suggest a topic for us to talk about, you can just head over to patreon.com/hypepodcast. I think there'll be like one more week still in the free Feb next week. So if there's anything, like it can be a particular news story you'd like us to focus on a little more, or a question you have for us, whatever it is, it's just something that we'll spend a little more time discussing than we usually do with the rest of the listener feedback. So Laura says, you guys have been to so many conferences and fun events. What is your favorite or most funny fandom encounter you have had? I should have thought about this in advance, but Pam, what about you? I'll just put you on the spot.
Oh no. What have you got? I'm trying to think about a story Bradley I James, haven't right? shared. Yeah. I feel like that just...
everyone knows your story.
Everybody knows my infamous spider encounter with Bradley James by now. So, I'm trying to
think. What's your favorite, what's your favorite kind of fandom event that you've been to?
That's a good question. Before I started covering Comic-Con with Hypebull in 2012, I think it was. Yeah, 2012. My bestie and I, we went to Comic-Con just as fans. And I think that the first time you step onto that floor, I think you kind of realize like how big it's going to be, but you don't really know until you're there yourself. And that just kind of sticks out because I don't think we ever imagined it would be that big. So that was really fun. I guess it's like the biggest fandom thing. I think like this is like so lame, but a couple years ago when I was interning out in LA, I also got to go to a One Direction album release party, and I'm like a huge One Direction fan, so that was really fun for me. And yeah, so those two are probably like my favorites. And then I had an awkward One Direction moment, and that was the end of that, because my life is just one big awkward moment, you guys. Like, I try and play it off, but something strange always happens, and then I get to come back and share it with you guys.
Pam's life is a sitcom. It's very, very true.
I mean, you are only saying that I'm basically living a rom-com without a male lead, so.
Yes. Well, Selena and I have been writing the script for it, like, every time something happens. I don't know. Of course, I can't remember anything as soon as I'm put on the spot. I would agree. Like, the first time I went to Comic-Con, I was like, holy moly, this is just no way of sort of conceptualizing how much it just takes over an entire city until you get there. And then, especially for me, because obviously, like, I work extremely long distance for Hyperbole, all the way from Australia, it was really crazy to just be like, these are my people, and, you know, these are, like, this is the place. So that was very exciting. I mean, the most awkward or, like, funny fandom encounter I've had, I've told this story before, but it's definitely Nathan Fillion, like, manhandling me into a photo.
You know what? I was stalking your Facebook yesterday.
As you do.
As I do. No, well, actually, we haven't talked about this, but we're actually going to be updating our banner on Patreon. Our friend Yuki made us a really cute little drawing of all of us, and you guys will see it soon. We're in love with it. But we were trying to figure out what color Marima's eyes were so she could like draw them into this photo that she made of us, and I found that photo and I just like laughed for like 3 minutes just remembering you retelling it, because it's the best. The photo is like the story in and of itself.
I know. So let me tell it real quick for any new hype listeners who maybe were not around then, because it was a couple years ago now, I think. So basically, the context of this being that, like, I used to sort of run Comic-Con for Hyperbole when I was there and kind of manage everyone at the con. And, you know, we just have kind of like vague guidelines for people to follow. And one of them was like, when you're doing press opportunities, like when you're doing things on behalf of the site, like it's just not really good form to stop and ask someone for a selfie or something like that, you know, because you're like you're reporting and like you're doing your thing, and you can do that sort of in your other time. And obviously, you know, depends on the person and the situation, everything, but like we don't want to harass people. And so I had just told everyone this, hey guys, just as a reminder, blah blah blah. I go to do this press event for Con Man, Alan Tudyk's series about his sort of fictionalized Firefly-esque show that is canceled, and then he kind of plays a version of himself, and it's very, very funny. This was before the first season came out, and it was that they were doing a panel at Hall H, and it was like this really big deal because it was this really kind of niche, small show, but it had had this huge Kickstarter, and you know, they're such fan favorites, so they'd put it in the biggest hall there. So I went to do the press for it, and I was the very first interview, and I got there, and Alan Tudyk was there, and the other EP was there, and Nathan Fillion was late, and so you know, they came to apologize, and I started talking with Alan, and actually, it's like one of my favorite pieces that I've written for Hyperbole. I'll have to find it. And you know, Nathan Fillion like sort of turned up towards the end, and the PR person was coming over being like, "Oh, we need to wrap it up." And I was like, "Oh, well, you know, because you're a bit late, is it okay if I can I take a few photos just to go up with the article?" And she was like, "Oh yeah, sure." So, you know, they kind of huddle the guys over to the photo op place, and I'm standing there with my phone like ready to take the photo, and somehow Nathan Fillion's like, "No, you're in the photo," and sort of takes my phone out of my hand and like hands it to one of the PAs, and then sort of takes me by the shoulders and like puts me in the photo. And he is very tall,
He also has
and
very big hands. I will, like, because I shook
I
his
am
hand once and it
not.
was like
Yeah, he's
engulfed.
like a
He's
large.
a large
He's
man.
like a yeah. He's a large guy, and I am not a large person. Even though I think I was wearing my heels, and so there is these wonderfully awkward series of photos of me, because guys, it doesn't matter if you're Nathan Fillion or not. Like, I just don't like people in my personal space. So as like a Pam is well aware, having spent time with me. So there's just this series of photos of me with this sort of awkward like grimace on my face of being like, "Nathan Fillion, stop touching me." And so we did a few of those, and then I was like, "Okay, now I really just need to take a photo of like just you guys, thanks." But yes, that was like, and then I left, and then I ran into another Hyperbole rider outside, and she was like, "Oh, how'd the thing go?" And I was like, "It was good. Nathan Fillion manhandled me." And she was like, hashtag Mara my problems. So much like Pam, this seems to be the story of my life. I'll have to find that photo and link it, because
I was gonna
God, it
say,
is
can
so
we just
funny.
post them up
We'll put on
on the
Instagram.
Instagram? Yeah, we can do like a
Yeah.
little thing. You can post that. I can post my One Direction photo, and we'll call it a
Yes.
day.
Okay,
TBT is perfect
perfect.
day.
Yes. Okay, head over to Instagram.com/hyperbolehype. You'll be able to check out those there. And thank you, Laura, for the question. That was fun to do a little flashback. We are going to jump right into listener feedback now. We have a bunch. Thank you guys so much. As a reminder, if you want to get in touch, we are at Hyperbole Hype on Twitter and Instagram. You can send us an email, hype@hyperbole.com, for your Jane the Virgin or The 100 or Gilmore Girls or any other thoughts. You can leave us a comment on this podcast post on hyperbole.com, and you can find us on Tumblr, tumblr.com, or what are we? hypepodcast.tumblr.com. That's how that works. And of course, you can find us on Patreon, patreon.com/hypepodcast. So many things, but it's all in the show notes. So don't worry about it. Pam, you want to start us off?
Sure. So we've got one here from Melissa who says it's interesting to hear other less than stellar opinions about Jamie on Outlander. It took me a while to warm up to him, but it was in large in part because I wanted Claire to be able to go back to the present so bad until Frank where she was and be able to wear comfortable clothes again and take a shower. Lol. Jamie became her barrier. I didn't want to accept him, but also Claire seems too mature for Jamie. Her strong personality and sharp intelligence steamroll his character. He feels very young and naive. It was never bothersome enough for me to stop watching, though, because I love Claire, and I'm completely glued to her story. I love that you pointed out the theme song, Selena. Every time I hear it, I feel like I'm being put in a trance. I think it's the only theme song I look forward to hearing as much as I look forward to watching the show itself.
All right, we have another comment on Outlanders. Let me read this and then we can hear your thoughts. This one is from Sam Heller, who says, "Selena, I completely agree with you about Outlander. I watched both seasons and I really enjoyed it, except for the romance. and it's a historical romance drama. That doesn't seem right, right? I really like Claire, but I don't care about her relationship with Jamie. I think Jamie is just too much of an aggressive alpha male and not very smart. It just puts me off. I'll still be watching the show, but more for the Scottish landscape porn, lovely accents, and cinematography. Do you want to respond to the Outlander stuff?
Sure. I think, like, my big thing is I would be, I should probably have listened to what Selena had to say, but I can kind of get a gist from just the comments. I would be curious to know,
she doesn't like Jamie.
If these people, yeah, I would be curious to know if they've read the books, because I feel like, obviously it's an adaptation. The books are huge. They are tomes. And I think maybe Jamie comes across a little bit better in the books. I don't actually know anybody who hasn't read the books that's watching the show, because Laura, who covers Outlander for Hypeable, I made her read the books, and that's why she started covering the show. So I think, like, we tend to think along the same wavelengths. I know, like, Donya, who's been on the show before as well, like, also comes from having read the books before the show. But in the books, like, Jamie's naivete and just, like, his immatureness, like, it's very carefully explained, because he is younger than Claire, and Claire knows this. Like, there are passages and passages of Claire saying, I feel like I'm too young, I'm too old for him, and I'm, like, taking away his youth because now we're married. All of that is better explained. I can definitely see, like, Jamie's alpha maleness, like, I think somebody pointed, I think it was, like, Sam. Yeah, Sam talked about his, like, aggressive alpha maleness. I will say, like, for somebody who is, like, a 1700s, like, male, he does a really good job of, like, letting Claire take the lead. If you watch, like, the second season specifically, like, Claire is very much running the show. And after he learns to trust her in the first season, he realizes that she is able to kind of take care of herself and gives her, like, more of a reins to kind of be the brains in a way that Frank, her husband from the 1940s, does not. I think, like, Tobias Menzies, who plays Frank in the show, does a really good job of humanizing his character and making you feel a little bit more sympathetic for him. In the book, it's, like, not that way at all, which is so weird, but also kind of nice, because, like, the show is in a strange way allowing a lot of these characters to kind of be fleshed out more than what Diana Gabaldon was able to do on the page. So, yeah, basically, like, long story short, I'm wondering if I am coming from this at a different perspective, just because I have read, like, the first two books. And so I feel like even going into the show, I understood the characters a bit more. So a lot of these, like, awkward nuances where you're like, but Jamie's, like, immature, or Jamie's this or Jamie's that, like, I already kind of know how his character gets fleshed out. And I understand, like, how the relationship works, because, you know, you spend a lot of time with these characters on the page and then you see them. And so even if, like, the character traits aren't coming out within the first couple episodes, like, you know that they're going to get there eventually, hopefully. Does that make sense?
No, that totally makes sense. I would be interested to hear from our listeners about, like you said, what their experience with Outlander was before watching the show. Just to finish off Sam's comment, they also say, if you need a great historical drama to watch, I highly recommend Poldark. It's a masterpiece series based on the novels by Winston Graham, and it stars Aidan Turner. I put off watching it because it looked quote-unquote boring, but I binged the crap out of season one in just a few days. I'm so in love with this show. I love the characters, their relationships, the scenery. It's lovely. If you have Amazon Prime, you can stream season one there. Lastly, I'm so excited about the new Philip Pullman trilogy and the Love Actually sequel.
We have another comment here from Igor Moretto, who says, do you know the TV adaptation of His Dark Materials will be written by Jack Thorne, also known as the guy who wrote Cursed Child? I'd love to hear your opinions on this. Have any of you seen anything else written by him?
Interesting. Well, Pam, you've read Cursed Child, right?
Yeah, I have. And I think that's part of the problem. So do you think it was written well?
Was it written well, though? Well, I mean, because I haven't read it.
I mean, like, here's the thing. It's written like a screen. Well, it's written like a play. It's not like, there aren't a lot of details, but I guess, like, that would transcend well into His Dark Materials. I think the problem with Cursed Child was more the idea of the story. Yeah, mm-hmm. And I think everybody kind of is in agreement on that. So
yeah,
as long as this doesn't turn into like his Dark Materials fan fiction, then we will have no problems with
right. Jack Thorne. I agree. I think you know, a lot of people really liked what he did with, like, as in how some of the characters were written, not the content, but you know, some of the scenes. I know.
I mean, he did give us.
I'm looking at.
He did give us Scorpius Malfoy, who was like.
Yeah, there you go.
Amazing. But
a treasure.
But at the same time, it's like, I went into the play also, like, everybody on Hypeable who had seen it before the play came out were like, oh my God, like, Hermione's great. But I feel like a lot of that was Noma's acting. And I didn't think that she was, like, amazing in the book. Like, I don't think I felt the same things that people saw it on stage felt. So
I'm just looking at the other stuff he's written. He's written a bunch of Skins episodes. I've seen all of Skins. Like, I couldn't. I have not seen these for a while now, so like,
Which episodes has he written?
Well, they're all by like the character names.
Yeah,
so
that's okay.
He wrote Naomi sketch, an Effie episode, Chris episode, and then everyone. So one of the finales, I guess.
Oh, okay. Well, if you wrote Chris, I mean, Chris's storyline was really interesting. So
yeah, like, so okay. I think I really liked Skins. I would have to go back and look at the specific episodes because he wrote over a bunch of seasons, but I mean, that's fine. Look, I'm gonna give the benefit of the doubt. I think a lot of the issues with Kashad was story. I think JK Rowling should not have signed off on that story, so that's partly her fault. His Dark Materials has like a very clear story, and I can't imagine Philip Pullman like being down for them to make large changes, because it is written in a very specific way for very specific reasons, and everything is in there for a reason, and it's all connected to each other, and you need all of that stuff so that it works. So I think we'll just have to wait and see. I know that's usually Pam's line, but I am not going to be sad about his Dark Materials. Like, it's my thing that I've decided I'm excited about, and I'm not going to be like negative about it. So I hope you guys, I'm like literally clenching my fists right now in the effort that it's taking me to be optimistic about this. So we'll see how that goes. Okay, we have one last comment here from Julia, who says about last week's episode, "I loved your discussion of the fantasy books you guys read when you were younger. So many of my favorites. I'm from Australia too. Oh, yay. And I was super into Emily Rodder in primary school, especially the Rowan of Rin books. Marama, I was wondering whether you ever read the Oba Newton Chronicles by Isabel Carmody, also Australian. They're female-led fantasy books set in a dystopian future where the main characters have special mind powers. Like Selena, I still love exactly the same things because those are three major selling points for me. The first book was published in 1987, so unfortunately they do have that feel of copying a lot of big trends now in YA, when actually she got in pretty early. I reread them a few years ago, and it's not really the same coming back to them, but I thought that you two might like them if you haven't read them already, and she actually finally published the last book a couple years ago, so no waiting. I'm totally up for any and all future book discussions like this." I actually did read the first Isabel Carmody. I don't know if she, like, was big internationally, but she was huge in Australia, and Oba Newton Chronicles were like a big deal, especially when that final book came out. I did read the first one. I don't know, like, why I didn't, I just can't remember why I didn't get into it. I didn't, something about it sort of didn't grab me, but I've actually been meaning to go back and read these, so thank you, Julia, because a friend of mine who has the exact same book taste as me has been bugging me about it for a while, especially since that final book came out. And I was thinking, well, you know, I sort of can't really be an Australian YA / fantasy / reader enthusiast if I haven't read the Isabel Carmody books. So I'll have to go back and check those out. And actually, I will definitely pass this on to Selena, because from my memories of reading them and what I know about the series, it's definitely her kind of thing. So thank you for that recommendation.
We also have some tweets here. Do you just want to go back and forth, or you want me to take them all? Or,
Yeah, let's go back and forth.
Okay. So the first one here is from Jewel, who says, "Jane the Virgin is an amazing escape and I'm addicted. Thanks for continuing to recommend it. I finally gave it a try and I love it."
Amazing. Kieran says, super late, but I finally read Ready Player One. Now I can listen to that hype special that I've been holding out on. Yes.
This is
Oh
even
my
better.
God.
I love this.
Like so early. That was one of the OG hype specials, I think.
Yeah, I think it was. Amy says, have any of you watched Legion yet? I watched the first episode last night. There's a lot going on, but I really like it. This is one that I need to get to, but I hear it's kind of a little insane, intense. Like there's a lot of stuff going down.
Yeah, I have also been meaning to check this out, but like I said before, I've just been watching The 100, so I need to watch like happy fun things right now. So I will come back to it for sure, but let us know what you think. Okay, and we have one last tweet here from Sarah Benz who said, just picked up Lauren Graham's Talking as Fast as I Can because of your recommendation. I wondered if you girls have also read her previous book, Someday, Someday, Maybe, and what you thought of it. I read it as soon as it came out and loved it. I actually did not know that she had a previous book, so.
I did, and I have it on my shelf. I just haven't had a chance to read it yet. But it deals with a struggling actress, and I think it's
Oh,
set in New York
interesting.
City. So,
Oh, it's a fiction.
yeah, it's a
Fiction?
fiction.
Oh, no, I have not. But you know what, Sarah? This reminds me that I promised to read Talking as Fast as I Can, and I still have not done that. So I am going to download that on Kindle, and I am going to read that before we record our Gilmore Girls sort of wrap-up special. And then I know Selena's been listening to it too, so we can talk about it a little then.
Well, funnily enough, I actually have a copy on hold at the library I'm gonna go pick up after this.
Amazing.
So
Okay,
maybe
we'll
we'll
have a
all
mini
just,
book review.
yeah, exactly. You guys are gonna get two for one
Yeah.
hype special over here.
That would be fun. Okay, if anyone else has read that, make sure you let us know your thoughts on it, and then we can talk about them on those. And we have some emails to wrap up. Continuing, we have another one from Sarah who says the subject is How I Hype. She says, Hi girls, hope you're doing well. We are now almost at the end of February, and I have loved the Patreon page so far. Of course, I was honored to pledge as well. You girls deserve it. Oh, thank you so much, Sarah. We really appreciate it. Okay, she continues. 2 weeks ago, I got my tonsils removed, and of course, after the operation, everything got infected, so I was bound to my couch and my TV. This meant I hyped a lot. I binged the new season of Downton Abbey. I watched Sandra Clarice Diet from start to finish and watched all of the episodes of Please Like Me. Oh my God, I don't know what I loved more. Everything I watched was just amazing. I'm currently watching Rain. I don't know if you've watched it yet, but I'm loving it as well. Thank God for my never-ending bullet journal list of TV shows and movies. Movie-wise, I watched La La Land twice, and after listening to your podcast, I had to rewatch The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants again. Oh, amazing. For books, I reread books 3 to 6 of Harry Potter. I'm currently back at work and still on book 7. I want to finish it before my trip to London, since we're going to the studio then, but I fear I might not just land that deadline. Thank you, girls, again for everything. Keep spreading the hype, love. Well, thank you, Sarah, for all of that. You have been very, very busy.
We have another email here from Stephanie who says, "Hey, Hype, I've been watching Powerless and it's so great so far. It's funny and light, but I have one little teensy-weensy problem with it, and it's entirely the fault of The Good Place. The Good Place starts off the same way, funny and light, but everything changes when the season finale aired and dropped that huge plot twist. So now, because of that show, I'm incapable of just accepting the status quo of sitcoms." Wow, I haven't seen the finale of The Good Place yet, but that's kind of crazy that you've had this reaction. Okay, Stephanie continues. What does that have to do with Powerless? Well, I've got a theory. I'm completely convinced that Emily Locke is secretly Gasp the Crimson Fox. She says she moved to Charm City because she lived in a flyover state. There weren't any heroes there, but also no villains for her alter ego to fight. She was late to work because she had to save the train, not because she was on it. That scene can be written off as an unreliable narration. And she chose her profession because she's a superhero who actually cares about collateral damage and keeping civilians safe. She can even benefit from the devices her team develops, the same way Batman did, unbeknownst to our main characters. She chose Crimson Fox in the Fantasy League because she's confident in herself, and it was potentially lampshaded by the line, "Not even Crimson Fox would choose Crimson Fox." I also think the plot line where Ron suspects the accountant of being a superhero was a red herring to keep us from looking too closely at Emily. who coincidentally was completely uninterested in discovering someone's secret identity. Last but not least, if you look at the visible half of Crimson Fox's face, the actress appears to have an uncannily similar facial structure to Vanessa Hudgens, possibly exaggerated with makeup, which I don't think was an accident. In conclusion, Emily is definitely the Crimson Fox. My theory ends up being Jost. It will remain my headcanon because the concept is awesome, and this entire email was my subsequent rantings and ravings are entirely to blame on Michael Shore and The Good Place. Thanks for making such a great podcast, Stephanie.
Oh my God, I love this. Have you seen any of Powerless, Pam?
Oh my God, I feel so bad for saying this, but I have not. And the reason I feel bad is because a friend of mine is working on this show, so.
Oh. I was like, you don't have to feel bad. It's
no,
just a TV
that's
show.
Why I feel bad, because, yeah, personal
okay,
connection.
Okay, I watched the first two episodes, and I was kind of like, oh, I like it, but, like, nothing really happens. Like, there aren't really any stakes, and it's sort of fun, but nothing to, like, keep me going. This, I love this theory. Stephanie, I totally buy this theory. I totally buy this. It makes so much sense. I feel like this would really, again, I'm not spoiling The Good Place, which I spoiled myself on, but given what happened with that, this does make a lot more sense, because in a way, like, just pitching, oh, a show about people affected by superheroes, like, doesn't, it's not a great log line, but if it's like, and one of them is secretly a superhero, like, that makes it so much better. I love this. Now I almost want to watch Powerless again, but it's only because of this amazing theory. This is my favorite theory. I love this so much. Oh, I'm so excited about this. Okay. All right. We have one final email here. I've just contained myself. From Rachel Campbell, who says, hey ladies, I'm not weighing in on the news today, although hell yeah on the Philip Pullman news, but instead I just wanted to share with you a little secret and show you how I announced it to my best friend. We are both huge Gilmore Girls and Harry Potter fans, so I thought this was a great way to tell her she's going to be an aunt. I'm just too excited and I thought you all would get it. Thanks for everything you do. And the pictures are, there's like a box on the front. It says, will you be my Lorelai Gilmore? And then there's a little onesie for Harry Potter. And this is so sweet. Congratulations, Rachel. Thank you so much for sharing this exciting news with us. And
I know.
This is so sweet. This, like, the guilt, that's so sweet.
This made my day. It just made me so happy. It's so cute.
Yeah. Totally agree. Yeah. Thank you. We love when you guys share these things with
us.
Yeah,
like,
it's
milestone life.
It's really
moments.
Fun. Yeah.
It's really
fandom
cute.
Is everything, guys.
Yeah, it is.
Big congratulations from us and everyone in the Hype family, I'm sure. Okay, that brings us to the end of the show. Thank you guys so much for listening. Make sure you head over to patreon.com/hypepodcast to hear the rest of that Beauty and the Beast live action movies Disney discussion. Let us know what you thought about it. Of course, you can get your free month of Patreon for the month of February. Everything is free. Very exciting. If you want to pledge, though, we are only $7 away as at the time of recording from our first goal. And that would be a fun present to, like, finish up the first month hitting that first goal. And then you can let us know if you have what you want us to do next. We can set another one. So it's all fun times. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you check out Selena's The 100 special with the composer. Very exciting. Up on our iTunes feed. If you have not yet, please subscribe to us on iTunes. And, you know, if you've listened this far, it seems like you like the show. It'd be really nice if you could leave us a rating and a review over there. Just another way for people to find the show, and it really helps us out. And we really appreciate it. So we'll be back next week with more news and everything. We will be back with our The 100 Season 3 special when Pam finishes it. Oh, I want to talk about it. Pam, no, it's Pam's been very busy, guys. But we will be doing that soon. And yeah, until then, I'm Marima.
And I'm Pamela.